reflect that it is 8:05 a.m. on Tuesday, February 13th. And present are myself, Representative Fairclough, my co-chair, there is not a quorum yet, but we are hoping there will be one a little bit later on. And Representative Newman, I know, will be definitely joining us later on. At this time, I'd like to remind everybody to turn off their cell phones. And the purpose of the meeting today is to take up the following legislation. House Bill 23 on limiting the annual increase in municipal property assessments, and House Bill 24 on property assessment appeal fees. And it is my intention to hear both of these bills today and to hear public testimony on both of them, but we will not be moving either of them out of committee today. And Representative Stoltz is the sponsor of both of these bills, and so we'll hear first from Representative Stoltz on House Bill 23. And let the record reflect that Representative Dahlstrom has joined us.
Thank you, Co-Chair Ledoux and members of the committee, and what a lovely committee it is.
We'll pass the bill.
Yeah. I really thank you, and I think your statement about hearing the public testimony and not proceeding today is a wise course. These are very broad public policy issues with a lot of ramifications, and moving at this speed, I think, is a good idea. So I thank your deliberation. Madam Chair, just because talking, should I just talk about? I can probably summarize comments of both bills broadly. Just run through them both, or one at a time, whatever you want.
Actually, whatever you prefer, Representative Stoltz.
They're very simple in their approach, but certainly engender a lot of discussion. The first one, House Bill 23, would cap the rate that assessments can increase annually. And so I gave a memo to the co-chairs, I believe, last week. A little glitch on my part. My intent was to limit it to residential only, and to limit the scope and impact on municipalities and get to the core of individual homeowner protection, taking the incremental and maybe achievable step of trying to rein in the escalating cost. And certainly the property taxes are the issue that I get confronted on the most. They're both a state and a local issue. They're intertwined in many ways. And I hope should the bill move, I hope you'll consider limiting that scope to, as I'm also concerned about the health and of our municipalities. It's interesting enough, prior to the 2006 election, the mayor of Anchorage approached me near the election and said, I see you've got this idea. I think you have some merit to it. Maybe let's maybe tie it to inflation or whatever. There might be something the committee can come up with. The 2% is the discussion point. There's an arbitrariness to it. And this is my idea is not inviolate. Whatever collective effort we can make to help provide some relief, it's as we know the parts of our, I think everybody here represents areas that pay property taxes, and we're now seeing just the cost of a person being able to live in their home is really putting a strain, and it's with all the escalating costs, property tax increases that adds to your monthly mortgage ultimately, topped on energy increases, it's we can't do anything about energy increases. Conservation and solar panels will get you so far if you do the investment. But the average person, we can do something to try to slow the growth rate of the property tax assessments. And it won't affect what the municipality does on a mill rate or votes that are made on bonding to increase them. That's all exempt from it. But it is a policy statement I'm trying to advance. It's not the first year. It's not the first time I've discussed it. And this year may not be the last, but it's a dialogue that will continue. And I get chided about why I'm not doing it fast enough. So I won't be impatient in there. My constituents are impatient, but I understand it's a deliberative process, and I appreciate all the ramifications and what we have to work through is this big collective body from all over the state with diverse opinions and backgrounds. And the other one is...
Representative Stoss, can I just ask you a question here? Do your constituents, in addition to talking to you about doing things faster, do they also talk to the assembly people in the areas that you represent, asking them to hold down the property taxes?
Well, Madam Co-Chair, I'm blessed with the presence of two people who represent a larger community that I'm part of, Chugaki River community, as well as the Matsu Borough. So I don't think our constituents, at least the three of us here, really differentiate between the levels of government. They just talk to the first person they see in the grocery store. And that's and I don't think they really make that. They're just mattering heck about the... about what's happening, whether it's a street light that's a municipality of Anchorage or something that belongs to the Matsu Borough, they don't differentiate, and I don't ever refer them back to their assembly person because I figure they've docked me, and I don't just say, hey, go call Anna or call Debbie. We're pretty close related in all of our politics out in that half of my district, I think they just grab the first person they see, and the impatience is with government, and they don't differentiate between the level of government.
Representative Fairclough.
I might follow up on Representative Stoltz's comments. I think that our community, in the broad sense, is very concerned, as well as Alaskans are, with if you're taxed with property taxes, that incrementally they continue to go up, and that there is a concern, when is enough enough, and when does it start, especially with seniors and disabled veterans, when does it start taking them out of their ability to stay in a home or stay in Alaska at all? And so those are large concerns, but Representative Stoltz is accurate in that balancing the municipal need with a taxing ability and inappropriately hamstringing them without knowing the full consequence of what's happening is something that we should proceed with caution on. But just to, in support of Representative Stoltz, yes, I just came from the local municipal assembly, and taxpayers there are unhappy with the escalating costs. While they're happy when they go into a seller's market to say, my house is now increased $50,000 from what I paid for it, when you're taxed for that and not ready to realize that investment return, it's difficult to continue paying. And my house payment alone, I don't know if you're unfortunate to be partners with a bank, but between the bank and the property taxes and the insurance, it's a 50-50 split. So on a $1,300 home, I'm paying $650 in my mortgage, and the other $650 is taxes and insurance. So, you know, when you get your mortgage payments, you're looking and you see the burden that the local municipalities are asking you to pay.
It's Madam Chair, it's been an escalation. I'd always dreamed of living in a $220,000 house. I just never thought it'd be mine. And I think Representative Fairclough really hit the point. The folks that are really pushed on the edges are our youngest and our oldest, the first-time home buyers. It's real frustrating when you have a mortgage banker working with you and trying to squeeze that last $100 to get your payment down, working with AHFC or some other things beyond your control takes a ride, and all of a sudden your payment jacks up and throw your NSTAR increases and your utility increases and insurance costs all on top of that, and I don't know how young people can afford to live in my community.
Representative Fairclough, and I'd also like to note for the record that Representative Salmon has joined us, so we now have a quorum.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Stoltz, in an effort to understand fully what your intent is, would you consider, I know that we're looking at a 2%, and that you've said is an arbitrary number, a focal point to start the debate, and that we know that there needs to be, at least at your request, modification from committee to limit this to residential property, that was your intent.
Right.
Coming from local government, I'm wondering about some kind of a deferral mechanism on the increase for just the seniors and disabled veterans, and somehow deferring their payment versus forgiving it. If we allow a shift of assessed value, and I know that this bill doesn't speak just to seniors, but I'm wondering if that's your intent. Is there some way that we could recoup the lost revenue to individual municipalities without foregoing it forever under this particular form on HB 23?
Well, Madam Co-Chair, Representative Fairclough, I just, I guess I might approach it from a different angle. I'm not sure the municipality has an entitlement to the piece of that action. I think there's some, this is putting a constraint on it, and I know that's been talked in the past, and it's almost, it's like throwing a reverse mortgage on your, and I see all too many of my seniors, some of the oldest homesteaders in Chugiak are now sitting on what was their legacy, doing reverse mortgages just to pay property tax on something that they had just hoped to die peacefully on and pass on to their kids or heirs, and it's, again, they didn't know that that their little piece they staked out in the 40s, early 50s was going to become so valuable, and they still have their modest home on it, and they want, and they don't want to sell it to a developer. They want to live out their time on it, and but it's, I'd be reluctant, but you know, it's a committee process, and again, I started at 2% because if I started at 5%, that's where we'd start negotiating from, and that's so. You know, if I could, it was arbitrary. I have no illusion that if a bill goes past this committee, it'll probably be at a more progressive, some other progressive rate. It's one of the largest areas of frustration for people. I had two phone calls just yesterday, and these come out of the blue. I talked to one of the co-chairs. This isn't something I tried to spin up on talk radio or put out alerts, and I want to just have a real honest policy dialogue it'd be a real easy one to whip up a frenzy, send an alert, tired of your high property taxes, want to put the brakes on these big spenders in the municipality. I mean, that's not my style. But, I really wanted to have the open, honest policy dialogue, and even as tilted as it is, because my constituents other than me and Representative Dahlstrom and Newman and yourself, we don't have... And the others here, we don't have our, but there sure is a slew of lobbyists that their taxes are paying for through various organizations and various municipalities that all have their hired guns down here. So it's and that's not meant as a pejorative, but that's just reality. As we're dealing with the whole issue of lobbying and ethics, and it's just a reality. We're really outgunned as property taxpayers. It's there's this. Collective discontent and frustration, but how do you go? They come to people like me, but they don't have a lobbyist who works the committee system and tries to put every possible bad spin on it. they're just honestly expressing their frustrations as taxpayers, and the people that are footing the bill for every imaginable good idea, and a lot of them are good ideas at the local government, and we see that every time there you try to. And I have such respect for my colleagues that came from local government. I know that Representative Fairclough on the Anchorage Assembly, her district was larger than Senate districts, and she did it without staff by and large. And they call us. And she's probably luckier to be in our district where they call everybody. And I know as a mayor of a smaller town. A smaller community. I understand the challenges. I don't have an insensitivity to this, but it's I'm really sharing the frustration. Probably more editorial than a lot of facts, but it's real emotion that's conveyed a conduit for the people I represent and a lot of people outside of my district that call me because I grew up in the area. I'm really happy to live on Stoltz Drive, right down the street from our, you know, so it's the people I know that are just struggling to stay in their houses on Birchwood Loop, one of the most stable areas. They're older people. A lot of them didn't have retirements. They're just trying things that government does scare the heck out of them, whether it's bringing in water and sewer when they're in their 70s and saying, well, this is what your assessment's going to be, $80,000, $90,000. Those things just scare the heck out of my people, and I do all I can to protect them. And this is just another level where I'm doing my best to protect them. And And I know the local governments might want to put some horns on me, but that's but we all have our own honest approaches to dealing with issues.
Thank you, Representative Stoltz. Are there any questions for Representative Stoltz? And for the record, Representative Newman has just joined us.
Thank you, Chair.
So, oh, go ahead.
And thank you, Chair. And not so much a question, but, and I don't know if this was brought up earlier, I was testifying on the legislation, but, you know, governments also have the mill rate that they can adjust, you know, for raising funds for government, too. So they have another tool here that is available as a multiplier in this formula.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Newman. All right, then, we will begin on public testimony.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
if I might suggest, I could probably take in about a minute and a half and just go through 23, because a lot of these people will testify in both, but I'll be at whatever your wishes are.
Go right ahead.
Well, House Bill 23 is pretty straightforward. It's for me, it's a due process issue. It prohibits local governments from charging an appeal to go through a Board of Equalization process. And again, limited to residential property, trying to protect.
Representative Stoltz, you're talking about 24 now, correct?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. You know, I have it right in front of me looking at the number. So 24. So 24, excuse me. Again, it's a pretty simple policy call, one where not as simple. It's the simple concept with a lot of other complications, but it's for me, it's a policy call. It's a due process issue whether or not somebody should be charged for redressing their government. And there's a lot of good arguments on the other side that'll be relayed, and that it's reduced the cost for municipalities, and it's triaged people off that might have appealed, and I expect to hear those. For me, we don't even charge if there's an oil company that's appealing their property tax assessments. They don't get charged, but one of my constituents or your constituents, well, not everybody, I'm trying to think, at least three of us here around here live in municipalities that have appeal fees, and I think the Representative Olson, his municipality does as well. And it's really a value judgment that I'm reflecting, and I'm going through it right now with my mother's appeal on hers, and it's we spent a good solid day on it. There's a building that's set for demolition, it's been assessed at $112,000 and plus, so it took there's a very thorough process my family just went through and putting this all together for my senior mother, and including getting the contractor's bid for the demolition, just to make sure. I was very worried about going through the municipality with my sticking my neck out on these without having done the homework with anything with a name Stoltz on it. So we wanted, but it was a good solid day's work, and I thank my sister and her brother-in-law for doing it all. But it was a solid just putting that together, and I mean, my family did the work, and then. And I've written I gave the $100, you know, to do it. But I was a little bit scorched by that. We went through an incredible amount of work to put through a good appeal package, and on something that was a no brainer. You look at the structure, and it's not even doesn't even have power. And anyway, that's an anecdotal, but this is just a frustration within the last couple of days when we got our little green cards from the municipality and saw the numbers. And I'm not going to get into what my numbers were. I'm not going to appeal it because, frankly, I'm down here and it's just too much frustration. And so I'll just, and it's below minimum, say it's only a couple $100 if I'd save. And it's, and I think that's how a lot of people feel. A lot of people feel the government process is rigged against them. And that's an overall feeling about government.
Representative Stoltz, do you know whether in the various municipalities around the state which have appeal fees, whether or not if you win your appeal, whether the appeal fee is refunded or not?
Madam Co-Chair, I believe that's the policy in all, if not most, if not all of them.
Thank you. Any questions, further questions for Representative Stoltz with respect to House Bill 24? Well, then we will begin taking public testimony on both bills. Can you remain with us?
I'll be in rifle shot here.
And let the record reflect that Representative Cisna has just joined us. So I will begin with the LIOs, and the first person that I'd like to call is Steve Van Sant, the state assessor. Steve, are you there with us?
Madam Co-Chair, yes, I am here. For the record, my name is Steve Van Sant, state assessor with the Department of Commerce. I guess we'll start with House Bill 23.
And then, Mr. Van Sant, if you want to also, during the same testimony, comment on House Bill 24, that's fine, too. I'm going to try to take the public testimony on both of them.
Yes, ma'am. I'll go ahead and speak to both of them. First, House Bill 23 would limit the assessments to no more than a 2% increase. The way the current bill is written, it would affect all property, and I understand Representative Stoltz had intended for this to be residential property only. But the way it's written, I just want to point out to the committee that this limitation has far-reaching effects in that it may also affect oil and gas properties. And we had the North Slope Borough, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, City of Valdez, also substantial increases in their local assessed value this last year because of an appeal of the oil and gas property, and the dollars went up considerably on that. So with this, there is a question whether or not that would affect that too. The other issue that we have, the primary issue is one that I spoke to the committee about 2 weeks ago when we went over some of the taxation assessment issues around the state. The one is that assessments are merely a tool to distribute the tax burden, and by limiting it, you're certainly not going to get rid of the need for the revenue that's out there. Since it's just a calculation of the total assessed value into the total budget, gives you a multiplier that basically helps spread the burden. So artificially limiting it to whatever value is certainly not going to stop that need. There are Representative Stoltz did ask last year. I didn't have an answer for him last year. Toward the end of the year, we did put together a little.
Steve, Representative Newman has a question for you.
I guess we could have waited, but that's fine. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Steve, I was going to ask what effect you felt this would have or how it may change how you talk about this bill if it was limited to residential homes only.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, if it limits only residential property, then it wouldn't affect the oil and gas property or the other commercial property or I assume vacant or farm property either. So if we're only going to target residential property, then it does narrow down that band. But that would be the only. It wouldn't change the way it affects oil and gas or commercial properties. What it's doing though is any of these changes like this simply just shifts the burden to somebody else. So if we limit residential property, commercial property, vacant property, farmland property is going to see the brunt of it. And as we talked 2 weeks ago, and I understand Representative Newman wasn't there, but 2 weeks ago we did talk about some of these issues. One is that studies have shown that typically what happens when we force these assessment caps on property is it's the lower properties that actually wind up paying more taxes because the mill rates have to be raised, and those properties that are experiencing fast growth, large growth, will be capped, where those properties that aren't facing any growth will end up paying the brunt of it. So we do have those studies available. As I was saying, Representative Stoltz did ask me last year if I had an answer, and my answer was simply the fact that, no, there is no easy answer to it. Toward the end of the year, we did come up with a presentation that we made at AML. We also briefly informed the committee about it 2 weeks ago. The answers, while not simple, are not voluminous in numbers. One is reinstate the state revenue sharing program because there's a direct correlation between the municipal tax, property tax increases, and the cuts in state revenue sharing. We've seen that. We've got the graphs on that. We've got the numbers, and we know that happens. The state could also fund the Senior Citizen Disabled Veteran Program. That's a little over $40 million. There's now a bill introduced that would increase that number from the mandatory $150,000 to $250,000. That would increase another $16 million, so it would be up to $56 million. And that has to be paid up by it has to be paid by somebody, so right now other taxpayers are making that up. We also talked about the possibility of increasing what I call the homestead exemption or the residential exemption. Right now it's capped at $20,000. There's possibility of, I believe Fairbanks North Star Borough has asked that be increased up to $50,000, and I think there's some asking for $100,000. The other issue is instituting circuit breaker programs, which would cap an individual's property tax at a certain percentage of income, so it's based on the ability to pay rather than the value of the property. And as somebody mentioned in the committee this morning, allowing property tax deferrals. Now, the problem with all these is it's shifting the burden somewhere else. And if we shift the burden somewhere, somebody's going to be unhappy. If we cap residential property, it's going to go to commercial property. Chances are those individuals are going to be unhappy with it. So when we look at caps, it has more far-reaching effects than is first perceived, and it doesn't always help the people that we think is going to be helped. One other issue I want to bring up is the fact that if we place caps on property, it could be detrimental to municipalities, because as the laws stand right now, educational funding, the local contribution is calculated with what we call a 4-mill equivalency, which is 4 mills times the local municipality's full and true value. The full and true value is supposed to be market value. If we artificially cap some values and say, well, the assessments aren't going to actually represent market value, but a percentage thereof, municipalities are going to have a lower assessed value, but their full and true value is going to be higher. Consequently, their local contributions to schools is going to be higher than the property they can assess. So you're going to have a disparity there. Unless you want to get into changing the educational formula, that would have to be something that have to be looked at too. So I guess the bottom line here is the inequity that it would create. We've seen this happen in California with Proposition 13, where two people side by side can have the same house. One was artificially capped, the other one just purchased. You could have one for value, let's say, at $200,000, and the other person's at $105,000. Another issue with this bill is it doesn't have any mechanism for triggering a market value assessment, such as Proposition 13. Proposition 13 in California will allow the local assessor's office to assess a property at market value once it sells, and all other property still retains the assessment cap. This bill doesn't have that, and I understand, according to Representative Stoltz, it's a work in progress, but that's something the committee needs to consider. If this bill goes forward, there needs to be some kind of inflation edging on this, where if it does sell, then it's assessed at market value at that point in time. Other than that, I don't want to take up a whole lot of the committee's time, but that's some of the issues on that bill. And at this point, I'd answer any questions you might have on House Bill 23.
Representative Cisna has a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Van Zandt. You mentioned that you have graphs on the effect of revenue sharing removal not having it, and the effect on property taxes. Could you make that available to the committee? It's neat to hear that somebody has something that actually might be useful to understand, and I'd really appreciate a copy.
Through the chair, Representative Sisson, I will. I actually made it available 2 weeks ago when I made my presentation, and I'd be happy to send you a packet with the same information in it.
I do appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you. And Representative Newman, you've got a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Van Zandt, and just I want to state for the record, I wasn't here 2 weeks ago because I was in Sitka because the plane couldn't get to Juneau.
Me too.
But when you consider, if this bill was to consider limiting the property value assessments, both 23 and 24, if we were to look at that and say this would be placed on the residency or where you live, And I think that that is probably where Representative Stoltz was going on at, is not to hit the commercials, but to ensure that the senior citizens or low-income people, their place of residency is where this would be effect. And then if this committee would put in a trigger that was based maybe on the federal level, on poverty level, or based it on need, you know, that would take a considerable amount of the discussion that you talked about away from this, I think, as for the negative talk against it. But I just wonder, how would you feel about this bill, again, just to reiterate quickly, if it had a trigger in there that was based on a person's ability to pay or how much income you had, because there's seniors on very limited income right now who cannot keep up, and if it was only placed on place of residency?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, the methodology you're discussing now is very similar to the circuit breaker program, which are available throughout the United States, and they vary all over the United States. But they are based on the income of the homeowners, and so that's a policy decision that the legislature needs to make. And if that's the way it wants to go, there's programs out there that we can look at and mock up for discussion up here. Certainly, and I understand where. Don't get me wrong that you know, we're insensitive and the assessor don't understand. We do understand that there are some individuals out there who have a very difficult time paying the taxes on these, and that's where circuit breaker type programs come into effect. Right now, as I explained to the committee 2 weeks ago, that municipalities don't have tools available to them right now to defer taxes on certain individuals if they can't pay their taxes. I mean, it's pretty hardcore as far as if the taxes are owed, the taxes have to be paid, otherwise the municipality forecloses on it. There is availability for senior citizens, but that's it. For anybody else who's low income or handicapped with stable income, there's no mechanism for the municipalities, and so there is a need for that. We understand that. I guess my explanation here is to this bill is not pro or con one way or the other. It's explaining the facts, number one, but we see some detriments of the bill in the fact that it does take out equitability as far as spreading the burden. If there are those individuals out there who have low income, who need assistance, certainly that ability ought to be with the municipalities in order to do that, such as a deferment program or a circuit breaker program, maybe an exemption. But when the state comes through with mandated exemptions, such as senior citizen exemptions, and then we've taken away revenue sharing, and I understand that's going to be coming back, it's difficult for municipalities to make ends meet. Costs keep going up regardless of what the assessments may be doing. As I explained a couple weeks ago, if we ordered all assessors in the state to simply cut their assessments in half, in theory, what would happen is municipality would have to double their mill rate. In order to make ends meet, they have to generate that revenue. So I hope that understands where I'm coming from on this bill.
Representative Newman, you had a follow-up.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Steve, I'm glad you recognize the need out there for the public to have some type of mechanism for the people, disabled veterans and seniors who cannot pay their bills. But, you know, you talked a little bit about revenue sharing, and you were going to get some information to the committee on how the removal of some of the revenue sharing programs had on the community. But what I'd also like to see with that, Steve, and I don't know how you can do this or where you want to go for this, but there has been a tremendous amount of money put into local communities through at the legislative level with some of our discretionary funds and the ability to target funds directly into the communities by our legislators, and I know that that's affected a lot of the communities. You know, just in Big Lake alone, we were able to get a $290,000 fire truck, and that money would have had to come right through the mouth off the backs of the property taxpayers. So there has been a tremendous amount of money that does go into the communities, maybe not through a statewide revenue sharing program, but through a legislative program where that allows the legislators to directly target where they feel those needs are most needed in their communities through the voices of their communities. So if you could maybe give us a little bit of that information, too, I'd appreciate that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Fairclough.
Thank you. Mr. Van Zandt, this is Representative Fairclough. Can you tell me how, or just reconfirm if I've heard it correctly, that the state assessor, if HB 23 would pass, that caps the limitation on increase on the assessment, if that passes, that at a community that benefits right now from an increase in population like the Mat-Su area, under the foundation formula would be adversely affected by holding the cap down?
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, as I understand the bill and the intent, all new construction would be exempt from this cap. In other words, if you built a home today worth $200,000, then the assessor would put it on at $200,000. Next year, if that home increased in value, and I'm just going to use some real fictitious numbers here, but if it increased in value 25%, but it was capped at 2%, so instead of $200,000, it's valued at $250,000, but it's assessed at, $4,000. So the difference, the $46,000 is the difference between the assessed value and the full value. So when I go into a municipality to calculate the full value, if the assessed value of the municipality is $100,000, let's say, the market value is $200,000, then when I report to Department of Education that the full value is $200,000, the municipality is going to have to come up with 4 mills times that $200,000 when they've only got $100,000 to assess that revenue from. So there's another $100,000 there that they can't assess, but is actually reflected in their full value. Does that answer your question?
Well, for those who might be sitting in the audience or listening at home right now, what that means is there's less money to collect, so the city will have to pay more with what's there.
That's correct. They'd have to raise their mill rate a little higher, depending on how much the full value was different than the assessed value. But in theory, if the full value was double what the assessed value was, then the municipality is going to have, instead of 4 mills, it would actually be 8 mills in order to cover the minimum local contribution for education.
If I might follow up, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Van Zandt, then... I know I'm coming from local government, and I know I represent the entire state right now in policy-making decisions, but Anchorage has been struggling for years with how the state assessor calculates the value of the property in Anchorage and sort of the local exemptions that we've provided for the citizenry that we cover. And so we could, as a policy call, go into state law and change what you assess in full and true value.
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, the legislature actually obviously can go in and change any law they want. But before you do that, you have to make sure, as on a policy call, that what you're reflecting actually evens the playing board across the entire state.
No, I agree. As I think we had a discussion offline 2 weeks ago where I asked, on the mandatory exemption for seniors and veterans, that the state assessor actually uses that in a deductory fashion when it calculates the state assessment. Is that correct?
The full value does not include the value for seniors or disabled vets.
Right. So you have full value, and then you recognize that deduction.
That's correct.
And so we could, under a policy consideration, if we were inclined to support Representative Stoltz's bill, look at including that as an exemption if we thought that was a fair policy for the entire state.
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, I'm not sure I understand. Right now, we deduct those values from the full value, so a municipality is not penalized by having to come up with 4 mills times those senior citizens and disabled veterans. Any mandatory exemption is excluded from the full value, so those numbers are not included when the local contribution for school funding is calculated.
Thank you, Mr. Van Zandt. You're in a job that I'm sure is not thanked many times, and so we appreciate you keeping those numbers as accurate as possible. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Mr. Vincent, were you planning on commenting on House Bill 24 also?
Just a couple of brief comments on it. I did do some number checking for the committee, so I do have some numbers to throw up. There are three municipalities in the state right now that collect a fee for filing an appeal. That's the municipality of Anchorage, the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. Ketchikan Gateway Borough charges for the second parcel a $25 charge. There's no charge for the first appeal. There's no reimbursement or refund of any of those dollars, regardless of the outcome of the appeal. Anchorage and Kenai basically charge the same filing fee. It's $30 up to right at $100,000, and $100,000 up to $5 million $500,000 is $100, and then $500,000 up to $2 million is $200, and I think $2 million and greater is $1,000. Now, with Anchorage, they instituted that in 2004. Prior to that appeal fee implementation, they had about 3,000 appeals filed. I think there was 2,983 filed, and they actually had 1,300 of those go to the Board of Equalization. After the fees were charged in 2004, the total number of appeals filed dropped to 701. So down from 3,000 down to 700, and then the number that went to the board dropped from 1,300 down to 300. Kenai's numbers really didn't drop that much in 2005. 2006, they dropped from 347 down to 189, and then the total number of appeals sent to the board dropped from 25 to 15. Now, the municipality of Anchorage has changed their policy. They now refund the appeal fee if the individual filing the appeal follows up on the appeal. In other words, statewide, we have a lot of people who file an appeal simply in hopes of getting a reduction, and they don't do any work after that. They just simply file the appeal. Well, the assessor has to go through the entire process of finishing out the appeal. For residential properties, that runs about $300 to $400. For commercial properties, substantially more. Anchorage is calculated in the neighborhood of between $1,500 and $2,500, depending on the property, all the way through. It does cost more. We can argue with the numbers, but the fact remains that it does cost the municipality money to follow through with those appeals. What we believe has happened is several of those individuals who didn't follow through with those appeals in the past have decided it's not worth their effort now to go through with the appeal. Plus the fact that according to state law, property owners have 30 days in order to file their appeal. What we found in the past, even while I was the assessor in Anchorage, was that most people waited until the last day or the last week to file their appeal. I believe what we're finding now is the fact that most people take advantage of that full 30 days. So more people are inclined to go in and talk to the assessor to find out what's wrong, why they disagree with it. I guess I'm not talking for or against the bill. I just want to make sure that the municipality had the facts before them. In Anchorage, in 2005, they refunded 516 appeals. Out of $98,000, they refunded $72,000. In 2006, out of $125,000, they refunded $96,000. The Kenai Peninsula Borough refunded almost 80% of the total that they got. In 2005, they collected $20,000 and they refunded all but $2,300. In 2006, they collected $10,000 and they refunded all but about $2,300. So the dollars aren't there. The municipalities do believe that it does help in reducing the number of appeals filed for those people filing who really are not filing because they disagree with the property, they're just hoping for a tax break. So that's about the only comments I have to make on that. House Bill 24.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Van Sant? Any further questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Van Sant, there's times in Alaska's history, you know, we somewhat have a boom and bust type of economy in this state. And when oil prices drop to $9, property taxes seem to stay right up there. Have you ever seen a reduction in property taxes when property values were decreased substantially to less than half of what they were in a lot of instances on raw land and homes when the economy has been in a downspin? People are leaving the state, and there's a lot less value to homes because there's a lot of homes on the market. Have you ever seen a decrease, a considerable decrease in property values or taxes that are placed upon the citizens when that happens?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, yes, sir. When I was the assessor in Anchorage, when I first came in 1988, the assessed value was right around $14 billion, and in 2 years we dropped the assessed value to about $7.7 billion. So, yeah, we decreased the assessed value or about 50% back in 88, 89. As far as mill rates reducing, yes, sir. As you know, I live in the Mat-Su Valley. We've seen our mill rates go down. We've seen taxes go down substantially, not so much all the time, but we have seen decreases through there. But the other side of the coin is, just because values may increase or decrease, the value of services really doesn't change. It still costs money to pay that policeman or that fireman and to remove that snow and to provide education for those children. So the values can be volatile. They can rise and fall, and the assessors do, I think, a pretty good job of following that. But the value of services, the cost of those services, don't necessarily change with the change in value.
And if I may add, Madam Chair, that although, as you stated, that the value of those services are still there, the value of the person's or citizen's property does considerably decrease. And I contend that I don't think that the value of those taxes have decreased at times, that the amount of actual value of what properties were decreased in value. I don't think that they keep the same level, I guess is what I'm saying. Is that I know that I've seen my own personal properties decrease in value by half, but my taxes didn't. Also, would this have any effect? Thank you, Chair. Would this go to page two here? Would this have any effect if communities pass bonds for schools or improvements for schools? Is there any effect like this on any of that at all on the communities?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, are you talking about House Bill 24?
23 or 4.
Well. The House Bill 23, House Bill 24 wouldn't be affected because it's simply the appeals fee. House Bill 23 would limit the valuation increases on property, but another statute actually dictates the mill rate. So
the answer is no then?
The answer would be no to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much, Mr. Van Sant. We will now go to the Kenai LIO, and first on is Shane Horan. And Shane, can you identify with whom you're affiliated?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair, thank you. And my name is Shane Horan. I'm the assessor for the Kenai Peninsula Borough and past president of the Alaska Association of Assessing Officers. And I'm speaking to House Bill 23 specifically right now. This one-sentence bill, as proposed, will have major and far-reaching fundamental impacts on the taxing scheme, bonding, and school funding of all municipalities throughout the state of Alaska. This bill would, or should, lead to a substantial and significant rewrite of the full and true value assessment law as it currently exists in 2945.110. It would have far-reaching effects, as did Proposition 13 in California or the truth in taxation legislation in the state of Utah. I would like to offer our association's assistance participation, and aid in any way to work with the legislature in the scripting and construction of legislation regarding this issue. Also, if there is to be a distinction between residential and commercial properties, definitions should be clearly established. The basic reality that will occur with capping assessed values is that mill rates will go up to achieve the revenue levels needed in our budget-driven form of government to meet needed and desired services. And Madam Chair, if I may, I would like to share 11 points for your consideration. By the year 2016, a home with a market value of $325,000 would only be assessed at about $243,000. A new home constructed in 2016 would be assessed at that current market value of $325,000. Second point to consider is what constitutes an improvement? Would it merely be a paint job, new siding, new roof?
Mr. Horan?
Yes, Madam Chair.
We get that information, those points that you're reading off to us. Would you be able to get that to the committee?
Yes, ma'am, I would.
Thank you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thirdly, is what goes up 2%? Is it merely the land, the building, outbuildings? Four, if an improvement is made, would total assessed value be brought up to current value? Number five, remodeling or new home construction may actually be discouraged. Sixth, if the market value increases 20% in 4 years and goes down 2% in the fifth year, does the value stay the same that fifth year, or can it still be increased 2% in the fifth year? Number seven, would House Bill 23 promote full disclosure of sales information? Currently, we have no disclosure information available in the state of Alaska. Number eight, currently it takes Kenai Peninsula Borough Assessing Department about 5 years to complete the valuation and inspection cycle. What cycle becomes the base year for House Bill 23? Point nine, the full value determination, which is used in the school funding formula, is supposed to equalize values by reflecting the total market value. Under a 2% cap, there is no reflection of market value. If tax rates are limited to 2% and market values increase 5%, will the state make up the difference, or will municipalities be required to make contributions from other sources? 10. Please consider what a 2% increase in value would do to a municipality's ability to bond. Bond ratings are partly based upon a municipality's ability to pay the debt based on the full faith and credit of the municipality. If you have a dip in the market, like we did in the mid-1980s, the municipality can never catch up to its actual market value, which will be sorely lacking in equitability. And number 11, how would a municipality correct obvious errors in its assessment if the assessments are tied to only a 2% increase? For example, if it is found that a property should have been assessed at $200,000 but was only assessed at, say, $125,000, the equity issue is simply magnified. And Madam Chair, if I may, if you have any questions, I could speak to House Bill 24.
Thank you. Any questions? So did you want to then go on and speak about House Bill 24 then?
Yes, if I may, Madam Chair.
Certainly.
The Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly instituted an appeal filing fee beginning in the 2005 assessment year that essentially mirrored that of Anchorage's. That is, as Mr. Van Sant stated, a $30 filing fee for property assessed up to $100,000, $100 for property assessed between $100,000 to $500,000, a $200 fee for those properties assessed from $500,000 to $2 million, and $1,000 for property assessed at $2 million or higher. According to Kenai Peninsula Borough Code, if the appeal results in a reduction from the original assessed value, or if the appeal is withdrawn before evidence is due to the Board of Equalization, then the filing fee is refunded in full. Additionally, the appeal fee may be waived based on one's annual income as provided by current Health and Human Services poverty guidelines for Alaska. The Filing Fee Institute has reduced the number of frivolous appeals as it was intended to do and has helped our office become more efficient and effective with appraisers in the field canvassing the borough and assuring equity in assessments. Please remember that in state statute, the burden is on the property owner to prove that the assessment is unequal, improper, excessive, or undervalued. The many appeals filed in the past indicating, oh, the value is just too high, or my taxes are going to go up, or you raised my values too much from last year, do not constitute sufficient evidence that the value is not reflective of full and true value. This office, that is the Kenai Peninsula Borough, as a policy and practice, would inspect every appealed property, meet with the property owner, address the owner's concerns, prepare and print packets for presentation to the Board of Equalization, only to find the property owner absent or not in attendance to present written or oral testimony. The fee, as instituted, gives the property owner more responsibility and ownership in the appeal process itself, and that which is at stake. Because this fee is reimbursed to anyone who wins the appeal or withdraws, and because of the hardship waiver for those that are indigent, I feel we have made reasonable accommodations for property owners who have valid concerns to receive their due process. In assessment year 2006, as Mr. Van Sant shared, Kenai Peninsula Borough did have 189 formally submitted appeals filed with 15 heard before the Board of Equalization. We collected approximately $10,200 in fees and retained only $2,300. Lastly, I would like to share that we do offer, through ordinance, the opportunity for anyone receiving their assessment notice to first contact the assessor's office, and we offer an informal meeting with the assessor or appraiser regarding his or her assessment. This itself has been successful in resolving numerous appeals in an informal format. I feel having no fee as proposed in this bill would not be a sufficient deterrent to those frivolous appeals and may consume more resources than necessary. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Horan. We'll now go to Larry Simmons, also at the Kenai LIO. And Mr. Simmons, please identify yourself for the record, whom you're representing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Larry Simmons. I'm the finance director for the City of Kenai. I just want to be on the record that the City of Kenai is not in favor of limiting local government's ability to make local decisions, which is what House Bill 23 will do. And further, property tax should be based on market value, not on some artificial calculation that over time will cause great inequalities in property tax from one person to the other. This has been tried in other states and has been very difficult for local governments to deal with. And I would just ask the legislature to be respective of local governments. We are here on the ground, and local officials, elected officials particularly, are very sensitive to their constituencies' concerns over taxes. But to put this sort of limit on local government's ability to manage their own resources and their methods of obtaining resources is short-sighted and will result in inequalities that will be very difficult to deal with at some time in the future. And then I'd like to comment briefly on House Bill 24. I'm a member of the Alaska Retirement Management Board. Last week we had meetings with managers, real estate managers, and one of them that manages billions of dollars of real estate across the country for many different clients made the comment that they, as a matter of policy, always appeal local government assessments, always, without exception. You know, that's really good business, especially if they don't have to pay a fee. But the local government has a great deal of expense in dealing with those appeals, and many of which will be frivolous, as Mr. Horan has stated. So I caution the state, again, to think about how their actions impact local government's ability to manage. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Newman?
Thank you, Chair. And I would just like to comment, too, that as a state legislator, I, too, hear from the citizens of my district on how their property taxes are affecting them. Reading some of their comments and some of the published material here is backup material, you know, with comments such as people, they're having to sell their homes because they can't afford to live them anymore, and live in them anymore. They have not asked for that, but it's something that they built out of pocket. But, again, as you state, Mr. Horan, you need to be accountable to the citizens as an elected official in your community or some of the elected officials. We also have to be accountable to those citizens. We also have to listen to their needs, too, and I think that that's what some of this legislation does. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Newman, I just want to clarify, we were talking to Mr. Simmons there.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Simmons? All right, thank you very much. All right, we will now go on to the Fairbanks LIO, and we've got Tammy Wilson. Ms. Wilson, would you please identify for whom you're representing?
Yes, my name is Tammy Wilson, and I just am a resident of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And I just really would like to comment on House Bill 23 just as a resident. I don't know about the 2%, but I'm just glad somebody seems to be listening to us. We had over 800 properties here in the borough that went up double in their assessment. Mine alone went up 54%, and we did absolutely nothing to it. So it's very frustrating, especially when it gets to be election time and we keep hearing how we want to get our property taxes down. It seems to be a big concern. And this past year, we actually had our mill rate go down. But because the assessments went up considerably, nobody really saw any kind of, you know, real savings. And I just feel that somehow by capping it, maybe when the mill rate gets changed, we have a better idea of how much our government's really spending. And the other thing, you know, it might also come down to with the senior exemptions, maybe the state funding that. We're right now just as a middle-class family feeling the pressures of subsidizing this program that the state made. And I do believe that the seniors do need that exemption. But I think I'm talking to not just those, I don't think we would qualify for any kind of low income, even though we're putting four children through college right now, but we feel those increases each and every year. And I just think something needs to be done, and maybe this is just a good starting point, and I just really appreciate you looking at this.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wilson. Any questions for Ms. Wilson? All right, thank you very much. And I think that finishes the testimony of the folks at the LIOs. Anybody else on the LIO line? All right, so now we have the people here in the audience, and I see that Kathy Wasserman is signed up to testify. Kathy, please identify yourself for the record and with whom you represent.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Kathy Wasserman. I'm with the Alaska Municipal League. We appreciate the ability to comment on this bill. The Alaska Municipal League and the member municipalities all realize we're all taxpayers as well, that our taxes are going up, and it's difficult to see that tax statement when it comes in the mail every year or when it's reflected on your house payment. But we believe there are some solutions, and some of them are to, A, have the legislature reinstate revenue sharing, which we hope will make it through the session this year. The tri-borough mayors made up of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, the Municipality of Anchorage, and the Mat-Su Borough have all committed themselves to lowering property taxes if revenue sharing comes through, because that's indeed, in the larger communities, what revenue sharing is used for. It's used to offset the raises in property taxes. Municipalities have basically lost their ability to bring in revenue. With revenue sharing gone, higher fuel costs, higher insurance costs, PERS issues and retirement issues that are catastrophic, the only way a municipality has to pay for those basic services are through fees and taxes. And to then limit the communities to cap those taxes removes one more chain for them in to provide those basic services. So we would ask that the solution be found elsewhere rather than House Bill 23. I'm also concerned that House Bill 23 does not show a way that or a timeline where the full and true value would finally be realized on any piece of property. And as Representative Stoltz said, there's some work that needs to be done, and so I would hope that if this continues to go any further, that some of those questions would be answered. Most of the comments that Mr. Van Zandt commented about, I am in true agreement with, and I won't go over those again. We are worried about the inequality of the bill in that people whose homes are not valued as high will end up paying for the people who live in larger, more expensive homes whose property values are increasing. And I think that far-reaching ramifications that certainly I don't even profess to understand completely would be, how would this affect school funding and the money that we put into schools? It seems to me that at some point, if we start messing with the funding formula and property taxes, that we'll find ourselves going backwards in the amounts that we put into our schools. And so with that, I would say that the municipalities and the Alaska Municipal League is opposed to House Bill 23.
Thank you, Ms. Wasserman. Did you have testimony with respect to House Bill 24?
House Bill 24. To put that one very simply, it's a great cost to government when people do appeal their property tax. Sometimes there needs to be some way to recoup that money. But we believe the basic tenet of that is that this is a local decision. There are basically only three communities that do charge a fee for the appeals, and we believe that should be a local decision made by those communities, and we'll stick to that story.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Wasserman? All right, is there anybody else out in the audience who may not have signed up to testify but who would like to testify? All right, then we will close public testimony and we'll turn this over for a committee discussion. As I mentioned earlier, it was my intention to have public testimony and begin committee discussion on this these two bills today, but not to move these bills today. So, committee discussion. Representative Faircloth.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure if you were all in receipt of the, I believe I sent to all of your offices questions from our discussion from the previous week. I know that Representative Ledoux's office received it. And what I did was capture on each bill different questions that were raised either through the public in comment or through committee members and sent them out for your review. And I was wondering if that would be helpful, again, to sort of encapsulate the different perspectives that have been balanced here. And then after I submitted those questions to you, I waited 24 hours for a response and then forward those to the sponsor of the statement to show sort of specific questions that the committee had that they would like further discussion on before sort of talking about the bill. And it seems like that there are multiple points here that that we could use some additional information on. So I didn't know if it would be helpful, so I'm just offering up that I could try to summarize the questions that we've heard today that have been asked, some which answered, send them out and distribute them to committee members, see if you'd like to add some more, and then forward those to the sponsor for their consideration.
I think that would be very helpful. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. to the sponsor of the bill, I definitely agree with your intent and have received many of those same calls. I saw you writing many questions and comments as the different folks were speaking, and so I'm sure that many of the questions that Representative Fairclough might encapsulate are things that you are already planning on addressing, and so that would be my wish, is that he would have time to think about the testimony and come back with any changes he may or may not want, you know, to the bill, and we move forward from there.
Any further? Representative Salmon and then Representative Newman.
Yes, I just like to make a comment, you know, that, you know, I know what it feels like to be going down to the, you know, borough office to be sitting there, you know, standing in line, waiting to pay your taxes, you know. You sit there and cringe and see, what am I getting out of this, you know. And each year, I think we bought a property in Fairbanks area, and we bought it mostly for the land, and each year seems like it's going up, you know, $4,000-$5,000 a year, you know. And we owned the land about, I don't know, several years, and, but I mean, we never did nothing to the house, you know. We lived in Beaver, so I mean, the price is going up, and since we bought the house, the price of the property went up $30,000, and we never did nothing to it, you know. And it just, I mean, you know, you go down to the office and you ask for, you know, reassessment, and then they give you this big runaround, and I know how that feels, you know. And it's just, and I could imagine people that that's on limited income, how would it affect them, you know. And it's a fighting battle, you know. It's the big monster against the little guys, you know, and that's what it really amounts to. And I think, you know, a lot of this bill that the representative has been pushing for the last couple of years, it's really meaningful to you know, the small people in the boroughs. So I really sympathize with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Newman and then Representative Sisna.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Stoltz, I'm glad you came forward. I'd like to just ask you a question. How would you feel if the committee looked at different ways to look at this legislation, if it was to be limited to the place of residency or put in some type of mechanism there where it was attached to financial need?
Representative Newman through Chair Ledoux. My mind is completely open. We sat in this committee last year, and the folks from the borough, the local governments, and the state assessors said, let's give us some more time and work together. I haven't received one word from them. I mean, I have a frustration as a member of the legislature, and it's, you know, I send emails, hey, Mr. Van Zandt, what's, are we going to have something on this? And, you know, I believe in good faith and the best of human character and all that. It's being strained a little bit when I had, you know, I'm a patient guy and just, you know, easy to get along with. And I was a little frustrated. You know, it's a kind of, I'm going against a pretty stacked system, and I know how the guys walking in those appeals office feel like, but I really reached out, and they said, give us more time over the summer. We're going to come up with some suggestions. And, you know, I was never given anything that the committee got copies of, and it's been no secret that I have this vibrant interest in this issue, and it was promising. So, I feel a little bit almost like caught with this big back wind. I'd been expecting to hear something and some positive things, but it was pretty much the same, you know, a lot of legitimate concerns brought up, but it was the same dogma again. And it's so I've been frustrated as a legislator trying to represent one point of view. And it's, but I was really looking for that outreach, and many of you on this committee were here last year, and they said, give us some time. We want some time to look over the summer, meet together as organizations, and come up with some productive solutions. And that's why you have such a very limited, narrow scope thing, because it was never came forward with anything. And that's and I believe in the committee process, Representative Newman, and it's, my bill is not inviolate. I think I self-acknowledged flaws in it, because it's really a desperate attempt without a lot of help from the folks in state government and local governments that had stepped out that hand, but it was way across the river. We couldn't reach it, I guess. So that's a little bit of editorial there as well, so my apologies for that, but it's frustration.
Thank you, Representative Stone.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I certainly, I think, how many of us run out with our checkbooks eager to pay money for really just about anything? Really, I think most of us would like to kind of keep our money close to us and not give it away except if we're really required to do so. However, I'm going to say that even though that's true, and even though I have always itemized, I do my own taxes, I itemize, I carefully look through, and I'm very careful to not pay more than I should pay. At the very same time, in terms of property tax, and I was a single mom, I supported my family, I was really proud to pay that property tax because I saw with my child and foster kids what happened with that money and the kind of environment that they were able to enjoy because of it. And in 6 weeks, I become eligible for being able to take the senior exemption on my property tax. And I decided a long time ago, I will not take it as long as my body will work. As long as my body can work, I'm going to pay that tax. Because what I do know, and I'll tell you, last week I was in a country where the villages there, just like the villages here, don't have a tax base. They can't raise revenues the way we can in our larger cities. And I know that just being in that environment where the roads were terrible, where it was dangerous, where the basic infrastructure wasn't there, where there wasn't a possibility of people getting any kind of services, just exactly what that looks like. This state has kind of dropped into an unequal distribution of money. We make an enormous amount of money off of revenues at the state level, but those revenues no longer go to the municipal governments to share the wealth. So there's some real inequity in the money flow. It's absolutely true that the private property owner is carrying the load in a lot of our communities, especially the ones that don't have any kind of other revenues like property tax or like sales tax or that kind of thing. But, and that is a serious problem. But there are other places in the state where they have really heavy sales taxes. And property taxes, it's disproportionate. I don't think that having this kind of legislation at this level is really fair to all of the communities. I think some communities it would benefit, for sure. But I don't think it's true to all of them, and this is the state government. I think we shouldn't mess with small communities, and I think we should be very careful how we craft things at this level of government. I would be very much in favor of this legislation if, in fact, it was directly linked to revenue sharing, and if in fact there was some promises of revenue sharing to balance the load. So that's my two cents, and you asked for discussion and I gave you my piece.
Thank you.
Any further discussion right now?
Can I just
go ahead.
Closing comment, and I hope to get to talk to you again just in case I don't. One thing I just want to put on the record, I really have a problem with the term frivolous, and I never like to have our citizens' attempts to redress their government characterized so unilaterally as frivolous. It's part of due process, you know, and it is easier for local government. It was easier to get confessions before Miranda, you know. There's you can all put things into perspective as an attorney, you know, but that's. And I really hope to work with the committee. And I'm a little bit troubled. Some of the things I heard. Well, if we lower this restrict the on the assessment side. Well, we're just going to get you going on the on the mill rate side. It's almost like we're peddling that what Governor then Senator Huey Long referred to as high populorum and low papaya. One was an elixir made from skinning the bark of the tree from the bottom up, and the other from the bottom down, and each had their own curative powers. But you know, it's a I just don't want to get into that type of a shell game. This is a really a legitimate attempt to but I was a little bit troubled. Well, you restrict the assessments. We're going to just increase mill rate. So, but I think I'm not proud. I don't have a problem with that proposition, because on the assessment side, that's done by an administrative part of government. That's not on the mill rate. Local officials have to vote for that out in the open, pushing buttons or saying yes or no like we do. So it's, I think the public accountability is there. So that's my confidence level.
Thank you.
And I'm ready to work any subcommittee, be at your beck and call. This is one of, this will be my priority for every year I'm in the legislature.
Thanks, Representative Stoltz. And we will be sending out that list of questions and to the committee members first, and then ultimately to you. And so it is right now 9:25, and this committee is adjourned.